Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and real privilege to talk to yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hello to Emily. Hey, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
I'm really excited that you're going to be a guest with us and share parts of your story with us. And I know, like, you just came home from work and you made time for this. So I really appreciate that.
Of course.
So to get us started, would you mind formally introducing yourself, who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy?
Sure. So my name is Emily Anderson, and I'm from Anchorage, Alaska. I was born in Oregon, but moved up here when I was five. So this has been my home for a very long, very long, long time. And like many Alaskans, I love being outside and enjoying the outdoors. In the winter, I love to snowboard. And in the summer, man, it's a great time to be in the summer with the sun not setting. Go hiking, biking, all that good stuff. And that's really been a big role in my life, because I kind of made that into a career. I do environmental work. And so the organization I work for, we do all sorts of environmental work, from clean drinking water to contaminated sites to the rural tribes in the Yukon River watershed. So each day is a little different.
Wow. And you're outside every day, pretty much?
Not. It's an office job, but okay. I do get the opportunity to travel. Like, today has been so busy because on Monday we're actually starting our 2-week-long canoe trip down the Yukon River. And I get to be a part of that, and I'm really excited.
Wow. Like, yeah. What are you going to be doing? Like, so you're going to go on this canoe trip and do what?
So we're going to do water sampling along the way, and also do site visits in the tribes. And I mainly work with contaminated sites. So I'm going to be checking out like old buildings and tank farms. And there's a lot of old contaminated sites in rural tribes. So I'll definitely be busy.
Oh, yeah. But it also sounds like really exciting too.
It's going to be really fun. I can't wait.
So what's your educational background? Like, what qualifies you to do this?
So I have a bachelor's of arts, and it's called environment and society. That's just what the major was called. But my specialty is in social science. Mm-hmm. So it kind of works well with who I work with, because I do a lot of like one-on-one time with people in the tribes, but I also have that like environmental background there.
Mm-hmm. So doing a lot of one-on-one with people from the tribes, that's a lot of talking, right?
It is. Yeah. So, and which sounds scary, but it kind of works in my favor a little bit, because I was actually talking about this to people at the conference, because it's tradition and kind of a custom in Alaskan native culture to speak very slow and to take long breaks and long pauses. So when I'm in that type of environment, it kind of helps me like dial in, because I naturally speak very fast and they don't speak fast at all. They really take their time. They're very mindful with their words. Hmm. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. So how, well, I have two questions to ask based on that. But like first, mm-hmm. like how long have you stuttered?
I have stuttered, so I'm 27, and I started stuttering about age 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's and a little later than it usual.
Is. Mm-hmm. And I did have a speech impediment earlier in my life. Like most kids, I couldn't say my R's and L's, so I was in speech for that. And I swear, like as soon as I got out of speech, I started to stutter around 5th and 6th grade.
Wow. So did you then go back into speech therapy for the stuttering?
I actually did not, and I don't really recall if my mom gave me the choice or not. I kind of think she let it be up to me because I was kind of at that age that I can make my own choices. But my mom's been a speech and language pathologist for like 40 years now.
Oh wow!
Yeah. And she used to stutter too. And I actually think she started to stutter around that age as well. Hmm. So maybe she kind of just looked back on like how she would want to go about it and like make the choice. And I did go back into speech therapy when I was in my early 20s, like just starting college, and I didn't have much luck. So I didn't stick with it.
Yeah. So going back to my piggyback question, so mm-hmm. when you're talking to people from the tribes about their environmental concerns, does anybody have a problem with your stuttering or react negatively, or like how does that go?
They haven't really said much, but I can kind of see it like in their face that they're like confused or like why I'm saying things in the way that I am. But for the most part, no one's like asking me like, well, why do you sound so weird or something? For the most part, they're pretty nice. They're pretty nice about it, but I know that they can tell.
Yeah. I mean, I think we who stutter are very astute to people's reactions. And we can probably read people, I like to think, like probably better than the average mm-hmm. person, because we're like kind of used to people's surprised, puzzled, concerned reactions. So yeah. Do you ever like address it with somebody that you're talking to professionally?
I have before, but not much, but I think I'm going to start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the time at the conference that kind of like made me think like, you know, I should start talking about it more and kind of like letting people know right from the start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's advertising. So I think a lot of people utilize like advertising and disclosure as a tool to break the ice a little bit with somebody that they're talking with that may not know that you stutter. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I do that, it greatly lessens my anxiety when I put it out there and I'm not worried like, oh my God, like how are they going to react when they hear me stutter for the first time if I haven't said anything. So, So, before we get into talking about the conference, which I'm like dying to hear what your mm-hmm. thoughts were, you recently started an NSA chapter there in Alaska, right?
Yes.
So, like, what prompted that?
So it wasn't until like I found the NSA and kind of saw that there's like groups and stuff. And I was like, oh, that would be so cool to know some other people that stutter. And it wasn't until like I went on the website, and I'm pretty sure Alaska was the only state that wasn't listed. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And
wow.
It wasn't like as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I need to start this. I was kind of thinking of starting the 5K here, the Don't Tell Me to Slow Down. So I was talking to Anne Marie about that, and then I kind of like backtracked. I'm like, well, if I want people to come out for this race, I need to like know people that stutter. So right. It was kind of like a backwards way of starting it, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started the family one.
Oh, all right. So, and it's the only one in
yep.
all of Alaska?
Yeah, and
wow.
Yeah, and we're such a huge state. So, I'm kind of thinking if I do want to expand or try to get people, cuz like I know if someone from Fairbanks for example is not going to come all the way down. That's like a 6-hour drive.
Ooh, yeah.
And if someone like from the tribes want to go, that airfare is in the thousands. So, it's pretty nuts. So I may kind of think of like a odd audio conference type of thing if I do get that type of interest, which I hope I do down the line.
Yeah. Have you had a meeting yet, actually?
Mm-hmm. We just had our second one last night.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how many people came?
It was the same group as before. So it was two SLPs and one teenager with his parents and little brother.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
That's it's a good start.
Absolutely. I mean, you can have a meeting with two people. So, and kind of, it's kind of the thing, right? Like if you build it, they will come.
Right. Yeah.
right. So before you kind of like found the NSA, had you met other people who stutter well, where are you in Alaska actually?
I'm in Anchorage.
Oh.
So the largest city. I'm glad.
So theoretically there should be other people who stutter there, like 1% of the population. Have you met others in Anchorage that stutter?
So far, I only know of two.
Okay.
They're both adults. One, his is very, very subtle, but he still stutters. We still talk about it. And as a second job, I'm a server at a steakhouse, and that's where he works too. So
we
both kind of know that like. It's probably like one of the worst jobs to work if you have a stutter. So he kind of like identifies with those struggles and such.
Yeah.
And the other person I know that stutters. I know he is starting to come out his show a little bit more because I've been posting like my articles I've written for the Mighty and such, and he. He's a lot more closed off. Like he said, he doesn't even talk to his wife about it. So
push him.
I just told him that like the chapter's there if you do want to reach out, but I don't want to push him.
Right. Everybody kind of has to like get there on their journey on their own time.
Right.
So. You found the NSA, you're thinking about doing the 5K event. So what prompted you to come to your first conference?
It was actually really last minute. It wasn't until I joined like the chapter leader Facebook page and stuff, and I kept being asked if I was going to go. I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to go. And everyone's like, you should, and I was like, no. And then once I got like a little bit of help, like I stayed in someone's room, and like this like little thing started to like come together. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go then. And I think that's kind of the best way. Like I'm not a very like spur of the moment person. Cause I kind of like overthink, but because it was so spur of the moment, I think it like worked best for me. Cause I couldn't like back out.
Yeah. And plus you, didn't really have like a lot of time to like obsess and worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Cause I would have for sure.
Yeah. So when did you arrive?
I came the day of the 3rd. So like the day before it started, I think.
All right. Great. And mm-hmm. like, what did you think? Like when you were suddenly amongst hundreds of people who stutter?
Well, I was told that like, oh, the first time will change your life. And I kind of thought that sounded like so like warm and fuzzy feeling. I was like, whatever. Okay. And I was proven wrong, because it was the most amazing experience. And I almost wish I was like, cause I definitely want to go next year. And I almost like wish I was like a first timer again, just to like experience that all over again.
So experience what? Like, when you say like experience that, like what was it that you experienced if it wasn't like that warm and fuzzy thing?
I guess it was just being around so many people that share the same, like you think you're always the only one that feels a certain way, and being around people that share the same weird insecurities of like saying your name to a stranger, or like calling the doctor's office, and just being around people with zero judgment, and like letting your guard down. Everyone was like so raw, and like I don't know, it was just a really nice thing.
Yeah. I kind of remember that myself from my own first conference, which was in 2006. Mm-hmm. So this one was my 13th. So I went to my first and haven't missed one since.
Cool.
So yeah, there's a reason why I keep going back, and I think it's very similar to what you just said, that absolute feeling of being like enveloped by people who get it.
Yeah.
And for me, it was very liberating to just be me, because mm-hmm. in my world, I don't always give myself that permission to mm-hmm. be me, because sometimes I work in a high school, so sometimes even though after 12 years I like to think that like I've reached that level of acceptance and all that, there's still moments of reality where, you know, I do try to be as fluent as I can, because mm-hmm. I don't like to be laughed at by high school students. So I think that's very human, you know? So it is nice to be in that judgment-free zone where people know what you're thinking mm-hmm. because they think it too. So
exactly.
Yeah. So like, what did you do? Like, did you go to all the workshops, or did you like hang out with people and interact with people mostly, or combination of both? Or
Probably a combination of both. I went to just about every workshop. Maybe I missed like one or two, if that. But
wow.
I hung out with a lot of people, because I made some great friends. I led one of the NSA Fit days, that, and we like went on a little jog, and it was really fun. I kind of thought like no one would come, but we had like a great group, and
where the conference
was such a good spot. Like we just ran down the river to Lake Michigan and like ran along the water, and it was perfect. But
now,
it was never a dull moment.
Yeah. So as a first timer, how did you get to be a leader of the NSA Fit thing like so quickly?
I think it was because I was a chapter leader.
Okay.
And also I think they knew they flat out just asked me if I wanted to like lead a jog. So I think the fact that they knew I was leading the Don't Tell Me to Slow Down race, I think they just kind of like put two and two, like, oh, like she would be fine with doing a jog, you know?
Cool.
So I think it was kind of easy.
Yeah, yeah. So did you meet a lot of other people your own age?
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nice. Like we are on like a big group chat now.
Oh, it's like a nice. Group
of like maybe like 8 or 10 of us. And I was kind of scared we like would stop talking after the conference. We're like getting back to real life, but we like fill this conversation every day, and it's like it's really awesome. And we mostly talk about like one girl was going for an interview for like a master's program, and she was kind of nervous about it, and we all like gave her encouragement. And this other girl was like going to go on a date, and, you know, it's just like all different walks of life. And it's just like kind of trying to keep that like judgment free zone going.
Yeah. So is this a voice chat group or like a messaging group?
Yeah, it's a messaging group, and I'm pretty sure we're all first timers at the conference. So that kind of is pretty clear of how influential it is for first timers if like we left with like such great friends.
Oh, that is so amazing. Mm-hmm. Did you get to go to the first timers workshop?
Yep, I did.
What did you think? I'm just curious because I helped facilitate it. Like, was it useful? Did it help?
It was, yeah. And it kind of like, and it was nice how we like broke each other up, because like I already like, I don't know, like when you stutter, you can kind of like stick to your click, you know, because you don't want to like start all over and say your name all over. But no, I like went to a table that I knew absolutely zero people at, but again, met some great people. And I also liked how at the end people could go up and speak. And of course I cried at that too. Like I'm not really a crier, but when I hear people's like raw emotions up there, like those two little girls, I will never forget those two little girls for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
They were horrible. And what they're saying, just like, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I am always amazed at the courage and the fearlessness of the kids who stutter, because I was so not there. I did not have the support that kids today do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see kids who stutter eagerly embrace speaking in front of all those people, it's so impressive.
It really was. Like, they were strong, brave kids for sure. And I was like, man, I can't even imagine what you're going to be as an adult. Like, I can't wait for that.
I know. They're the future of our stuttering community. And how cool mm-hmm. is that?
Super cool.
Yeah. So did you have a favorite workshop?
Let's see. Oh, yes. My favorite one was stuttering in the workplace. Mostly just because that's kind of like where I'm at with my age. Like, I'm really trying to really establish myself in the workplace. And hearing how other people would go about things helped me identify how I should too. And it was just like really inspirational to hear what people are doing with even a stutter. Like that guy was a physicist and another woman was a legit rocket scientist from
yes!
NASA. I was just like, what?
Yes,
it was amazing.
Catherine, right?
Yes, she's yes. so cool.
Yes. And yeah, like I never met a rocket scientist in real life until
I know.
Met her.
I always thought that was made up or something. That's just like what you say when something is really hard. You're like, oh, it's rocket science or something.
Right, exactly. And that's what she freaking does for a living. And yeah. She stutters. And mm-hmm. yeah, so wow, that's. Yeah, and so you must have met George, the physicist. Yeah, it's like, it's freaking amazing.
They were both so smart and like didn't let stuttering hold them back, which like I wish that I could have learned that so long ago, but it's never too late to start the process.
Now, do you talk about stuttering with coworkers?
I do now. I didn't used to always be like that. Especially working primarily at their restaurant at a very like fast paced environment. When someone would like point out my stutter, not even in a mean way, I would react in a mean way. Like I would lash out, I would yell, and you know, I later really regret the way that I went about it. But that's just like how I felt about me speaking, and I guess it kind of took some maturity and some like self-acceptance to not react in that way.
Yeah. So I was going to ask that and like kind of bring that up next, like the whole self-acceptance thing. So are you at that place of acceptance, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely feel a lot better about it. And it's definitely, you're not just going to feel like that overnight. Like I've been working at it for a very long time. And that's kind of what, if people aren't there yet, that's like my main piece I want them to take home is it's not going to be an overnight thing. It may take a year, it may take 10, and that's fine. It's just how you want to feel. It may take a little bit.
So I think other people that are listening to this, particularly women, are going to be very inspired by what you just said, because you're right, that is it. It doesn't happen overnight. It's like baby steps. And sometimes I think it's really important for people who stutter, and particularly women who stutter, to be kind to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we have a moment where we are like beating ourselves up, you know, to just let that go and move on and know that there's the next day. Right? I mean, yeah. So I mean, I like the way that you said that. Like, it can take a year, or it can take 10 years, or it can be lifelong for many people. Right?
There's no like book, and there's no steps of like you must do this, this, and this, and you're gonna get there. Like each person has like a different platform and a different avenue of how they express it or talk about it. And that was kind of the cool thing about the conference is there's so many stories out there.
Yeah. And you would think that, okay, so we all stutter, so how many stories can there really be? But it's everybody has a story, and mostly they're unique because, everybody stutters, sure, but everybody, just like you said, deals with it completely differently and deals with all that underlying stuff that we all also deal with in a very different way as well. So you said your mom is an SLP. What did
She
she
is.
think about you going to your first stuttering conference?
I know she was really, really, really proud. She didn't like show it a whole bunch because she knew that I'd be like, ah, stop it. But she was really proud, and I know she loves that I'm starting the chapter and stuff. She's a probably like the best mom because she had a stutter too. So she
Yeah.
was a great role model. Like she never like corrected me or told me to start over or slow down or any of the annoying things we hate hearing. She just was very patient and just let she would let me finish. And her story is like I shared this at the open mic because she kind of taught herself to stop stuttering because she was switching schools and her new school didn't have speech and she didn't want to start her new school with a stutter. So she worked all summer and I don't know how she did it. I don't even know like that was possible, but she started her new school without a stutter or as less of an apparent stutter. I know.
Like what grade, I mean, what grade in school was she in when she accomplished that?
I think going into sixth grade or going into seventh grade, about that age, which
Wow.
is like the hardest age to switch schools as it
Right.
is.
Yeah, middle school. I mean, yeah, that's like the meanest group of kids that there
Agreed.
is. Yeah, they make fun of everybody for everything. So, yeah, wow. Now, did your mom have any interest? Like when you told her you were going to the conference, did she like want to go too?
She actually says she wants to go next year, and especially telling her that like SLPs do come. There's like separate workshops just for them. I don't know if she'll go, but I know she wants to go.
Okay, that would be really cool. Yeah. So, like, one more question, and then we have to wind down. And it's amazing how fast this time always flies.
Yeah, it does.
Was there like the moment for you at the conference that like you'll always remember, like besides those two little girls? Was there like a insight or moment that like kind of sums up what the conference meant for you?
Well, I guess like each workshop hit me in a different way. But when I first kind of realized like what I was around was, I think before it even started was, I immediately kind of like reverted to my usual self and like didn't walk up to anyone new. And I went over to the silent auction and acted like I was super into what I was looking at. Like I was really interested and someone came up to me and just like introduced themselves. And, you know, I was listening to them stutter, and I was like, oh my God, like if this is just one person, then this, like, it just kind of like opened my eyes. I'm like, okay, this is real. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely a big moment. 'Cause it was kind of like ripping the band-aid off, being like, okay, so the first one's out of the way. I wonder who else I could meet.
Oh, so that was early, like that was like one of your first days at the conference?
Yeah, that was like right when I got my badge, and I don't even think it's started yet. Oh. And I was like, okay, well, what do I do now? I guess I'll walk around the silent auction. I kind of just wanted to like, I hope no one talks to me. And that didn't go well because someone talked to me right away.
Yeah.
But it was so nice.
So, I mean, at that point, had you already put your badge on that said first timer?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that kind of, because the guy who talked to me, he's been to like 10. So I think he kind of could tell how I was feeling. So I'm sure my body language was very like closed off and like nervous, because I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Like you can tell exactly how I'm feeling at all times, and he could like tell I'm nervous.
Yeah, I'm like that too. Like I can't lie, because you can tell right away if I'm lying. And if I'm upset or embarrassed about something, my face gets beat red and
hate it.
And there's no way to hide it. So yeah. Well, I lied. I have one more question.
That's okay.
So, you said you're 27.
Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you offer to a younger woman, maybe somebody in her early 20s or even late teens or whatever, that was just like starting their journey with dealing with, managing, confronting stuttering? What might you offer?
I kind of like what you said of be kind to yourself, because I used to beat myself up so much, and like I would get in my own way. Like I missed out on some pretty cool stuff because I was like, oh, like the fear of starting over, meeting new people. Like, I decided to go to school in my hometown because that's what I knew. And I was really like, the thought of starting over and meeting all new sorts of people really scared me. And my advice is don't let fear get in the way, because once you conquer that and do something you think you would not be able to do, it'll feel so uplifting and open so many new doors, not just like in your career or whatever path you're going down, but open new doors with yourself and learn new things of what you're capable of.
Wow, so well put. Like,
thanks.
Amazing. Yeah. So Emily, thank you so much for being a guest today and sharing parts of your story, because I'm sure we only scratched the mere surface, but it just sounds like it was a wonderful experience for you, and I'm glad that it was, and I'm really hopeful that you will come back, but it was just delightful to talk with you, and thank you for being so honest.
Of course. Thanks so much for inviting me here and letting me speak a little bit about my story.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.